Hello, this is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL. Catholic Baltimore is a weekly radio program hosted by the Archdiocese of Baltimore, airing each Sunday following the broadcast of the Radio Mass of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic radio partners for sharing with us some of the contents in this program and for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to the Archdiocese of Baltimore every Sunday.
You're listening to Catholic Baltimore, and this is Sean Kane. I'm here today with Mary Beth Edu, Mid-Atlantic Relationship Manager for Catholic Relief Services. Mary Beth, thanks for being with us.
It's great to be here with you today, Sean.
For those who are unfamiliar with Catholic Relief Services, please share a little bit about what CRS is, what it does, and its primary function.
Sure. Well, Catholic Relief Services is the official international relief and development agency of the Catholic community in the United States. And CRS, or Catholic Relief Services, carries out the commitment of the bishops of the United States to assist the poor and vulnerable overseas. So we're motivated by the gospel of Jesus Christ to be global disciples and to cherish, preserve, and uphold the sacredness and dignity of all human life, to foster charity and justice, and to embody Catholic social and moral teaching as we act to do two things. One that I think probably people are most familiar with, is which is our overseas aspect of our work, and that's to promote human development by responding to major emergencies, both natural disasters and human-made disasters, fighting disease and poverty, and then nurturing peaceful and just societies. So we do that in around 93 countries around the world, serving around 1 million people. And then the other aspect of our mission that I imagine most people are less familiar with is actually serving Catholics here in the United States. Not Catholics necessarily in need materially, because that's our sister agency's mission, Catholic Charities, but rather serving Catholics here to live out our call to global discipleship, our baptismal call to global discipleship, to live as one human family with our brothers and sisters around the world.
So Catholic Relief Services really has a kind of a two-pronged approach, and that is to focus on the needs of people out around the world, but then also to help people here in the United States embrace that mission and to live it out.
Exactly.
And of course, in Baltimore, we have a special relationship with Catholic Relief Services because it's headquartered here. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. Since 1989, we moved from New York City to Baltimore, which has been a wonderful place, a wonderful home for us. And actually in 2007, we moved into the old Stewart's department store near Lexington Market and the Catholic Center. And so that's been a great location and really helps us have a wonderful collaboration with the Archdiocese of Baltimore. I'm really looking at how the wonderful Catholic parishes and schools and universities here in the area, how we can work together to live out our common call to discipleship.
That's right. And many, I think, are familiar with CRS's work after, as you mentioned, natural disasters such as the Haiti earthquake and the tsunami that hit Southeastern Asia a few years ago. Where is CRS most active today now?
Well, that is a hard question for me to answer because I think CRS is active, you know, as I mentioned, in 93 countries. So I'm working very closely with the Catholic Church around the world. But if I were to highlight a few of the places where I see we are particularly having a significant response, it would be, you mentioned Haiti. The earthquake happened 5 years ago, but we are committed to the long term, to continuing to help people, to help Catholic education, to help people have livelihoods. And then also, we look at the crisis areas around the world that we see in the news every day. So looking at the Middle East, the number of refugees fleeing Syria and in Iraq. So we're helping refugees who have lost everything and fled to be able to have a safe place and to be able to rebuild their lives. And so their kids can go to school and have safe places to live. So those are a few spots. I'd say we're still in the Pope visited the Philippines recently. We're still very active in the Philippines. Typhoon Haiyan hit last November. A little over a year ago. And so we're committed to the long-term emergency response of rebuilding there. And then perhaps one of the countries that we work in that probably is less known, at least to people who watch mainstream media, is the Central African Republic. And that's a country, as the name implies, that's in the central part of the continent of Africa. and they are in civil strife for many years, and that came pretty suddenly. And so people fled to church grounds and really sought refuge. So we are working very actively to help promote peace in the Central African Republic.
Now, we're blessed here as Americans to live in a country where, while there certainly is a lot of need and poverty, nothing like it is in many countries around the world. Can you help our listeners understand a little bit about the situation with global poverty?
Sure. Well, the face of global poverty and hunger is one that, at least for me, is very alarming. 1 billion people live hungry, go to bed hungry every night, which is 1 in 8 people. And most of those people actually are women and children. And a lot of them are farmers, which I find ironic that 50% of people who are hungry, who go to bed and who can't feed their families, are the ones growing the crops. And so that is, I think, particularly alarming and something that we have made progress, I'd say, as the one human family. We have made progress in helping alleviate hunger, but I think we have a long way to go before that we achieve that.
And it brings us to one primary topic of conversation, which is the Rice Bowl Initiative, which, you know, for a lot of Catholics, they're familiar with CRS because of that. I know when I grew up at, you know, religious ed, we had the, you know, the little containers, and we always look forward to that every Lent. Can you talk a little bit about that and kind of how that program has evolved over the years?
Sure. Well, Catholic Relief Services, or CRS Rice Bowl, is celebrating its 40th year this Lent. And so it is a Lenten faith in action, or faith formation program, for families and faith communities to live out the Lenten pillars of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And initially, I think it, just like you, Sean, I remember the little cardboard box in my parish, and I would put a few coins in it, and that was about all. But now, the program has evolved so much to really incorporate technology, to incorporate people's stories, and allow people to enter into the lives of our brothers and sisters around the world during Lent, and have our sacrificial almsgiving be able to be life-giving to other people.
So I know one of the new components is there's an app now. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about what the app does and maybe how it incorporates the use of videos so that it really makes tangible for people that would otherwise be a very distant and almost hard for many people to appreciate
sure.
suffering?
Definitely. So last year we launched the first mobile app, and this year we have the mobile app 2.0 for CRS Rice Bowl. And this has a portal, and you can get it through the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store. It is a portal to be able to watch videos of stories of hope of the 5 featured countries around the world, to be able to cook with Father Leo in the Global Kitchen, meatless meals for our Fridays during Lent, the meatless meals that are featured from countries around the world. It has reflections of daily reflections based on the gospel, as well as our call to solidarity with people around the world. And also it has a new series this year, which is called What is Lent? And it's reflections by Catholic personalities, from Father Jim Martin to Carolyn Wu to Christopher West, to really reflecting on what Lent is, what Lent means to us. So there is a plethora of opportunities available through the mobile app.
That's great. And I have to think that that anyone who's paid attention to Pope Francis over the last year and a half or so, now almost 2 years, knows that service to the poor and attention to the needs of the poor has been a major priority for him. I have to think that his focus on the poor must have had some kind of an impact on your work. Can you describe that?
Definitely. Well, I think Pope Francis is not necessarily saying anything new, but perhaps just in a different way than we've heard in the past. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just gotten people excited, and really I'm proud to be Catholic once again and really reclaim our identity. And so I've seen in the Mid-Atlantic particularly that parishes and schools are a lot more interested in thinking about how we can help the poor and become involved. So we look through Pope Francis. He's called us to end world hunger by 2025. And so how we can do that with our brothers and sisters in other countries, also trying to be a part of that initiative. But we have seen new opportunities for prayer, learning, acting, and giving to really live out that global discipleship call.
That's awesome. So tell people how they can learn more about Race Ball and also about your concert series that's coming up.
Sure. Well, more information can be found at crs.org. And then also for the Rice Bowl, CRS Rice Bowl resources, crsricebowl.org. Or for in Spanish, it is crsplatodearroz.org. And those are places that people can download for free. Those videos, they can the reflections. There's a community small faith group sharing booklets that have reflections there. So that's where people can get information. Also, for people in the Baltimore area, we have a concert really celebrating Lent, bringing Lent to life on February 20th. That's the first Friday of Lent, and that'll be at St. John's the Evangelist in Columbia at the Wild Lake Interfaith Center. And that will start at 6:30 with a simple meal, and then the concert begins at 7:30 with two wonderful musicians from Oregon Catholic Press.
Mary Beth Edu from Catholic Relief Services, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Sean.
For over 200 years, the Archdiocese of Baltimore's Catholic schools have welcomed families of all faiths, providing generations of students with an academically excellent value-based education taught in a Christ-centered environment. With a 99% graduation rate, the highest in the nation, and a 98% college attendance rate, Catholic school graduates are better prepared to succeed in college and beyond. But Catholic schools offer more than an education. They offer tradition, family, faith, and the opportunity for students to grow as individuals and as future leaders in their community. Discover these and other benefits of a Catholic school and learn more about why Catholic schools are an unparalleled value in education in the Baltimore region. Call 1-800-5-CATHOLIC or visit www.archbalt.org. Catholic schools, a place to grow.
Life can be hard, and at times we feel overwhelmed and alone. When faced with problems, know that there is a group of Catholics who are part of the prayer ministry of the Archdiocese of Baltimore, waiting to lift you and your needs to God in prayer. This ministry is comprised of men and women, young and old, religious and lay, from every ethnic and cultural background. They pray as individuals and in groups, in homes and meeting spaces throughout Baltimore. Like you, they are people who have suffered the same hurts, fears, pains, sickness, loss, and everyday burdens. Learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at www.archbalt.org. If you are in need of prayer, send your prayer request to prayers@archbalt.org or by phone to 410-547-5517. Would you like to volunteer to be a part of the ministry? Prayer ministers are always needed. Please call or email our coordinator, who would be happy to speak with you.
You are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL.
You're listening to Catholic Baltimore. This is Sean Kane, Vice Chancellor and Director of Communications for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. And today we are speaking with Paula Lombardo. She's the Director of the Archbishop's Annual Appeal for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Paula, thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure, Sean.
First of all, tell me a little bit about the Archbishop's Annual Appeal. What is it, and what's the purpose of it?
Well, the Archbishop's Annual Appeal is our yearly campaign, and it supports 26 specific archdiocesan ministries and programs, and which allows us to carry out the mission of the Catholic Church here in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. The appeal first began in 1992 under the direction of then Archbishop William Keeler, and was first known as the Archbishop's Lenten Appeal, then the Cardinal's Lenten Appeal, and it's now referred to as the Archbishop's Annual Appeal. Since inception, the appeal's raised over $103 million, and really the purpose of the appeal is to give area Catholics an opportunity to support not only their local parish, but to support the larger community and help us provide spiritual and physical comfort to those who need it.
And I know from my own experience sitting in the pews, that each year there's a theme for the appeal. What's the theme this year?
The theme for this year's appeal is Go Make Disciples, and that's taken from the Gospel of Matthew, and it was chosen by Archbishop Lurie because it really highlights the crucial need for evangelization for the Universal Catholic Church and for us here locally in the Archdiocese of Baltimore.
And I guess the Archbishop chose that theme because he views our call to be missionary disciples and sees our participation in the appeal as one way that we can carry out that mission.
Yeah, I would say that Go Make Disciples, the theme really ties into the mission of the annual appeal in four distinct ways. Number one, the appeal makes disciples by enriching parish life. Two, the appeal makes disciples by evangelizing future generations. The appeal makes disciples by strengthening families. And we make disciples through the appeal by supporting community outreach programs. With regards to parish life, unlike other dioceses in the United States, the Archbishop's annual appeal here in the Archdiocese of Baltimore, we share a portion of appeal funds with every parish. Parishes are awarded one quarter of all funds that are collected up to goal. And then once a parish reaches goal, one half of all the funds are given back to the parish. That allows parishes to really use these rebates to support specific parish needs that they choose. So the appeal really helps our parishes.
So when you mention goal, how are goals established for parishes?
Okay. Each parish is given a financial goal, which is 9% of their offertory giving for the prior 18 months. So for 2015, the Archbishop's annual appeal goal is based off of the parish offertory for fiscal year 2013. And every parish has the same 9% goal.
And I presume your office and works with the pastor or the pastoral life director in each parish to make sure everybody's comfortable with the goal and make sure that they feel like it's realistic and doable for them.
Yeah, one way that we feel the appeal is fair is that it is really based on offertory. So we're looking at the giving that has already occurred in the parish. And 9% is actually on the lower end of the spectrum with regards to the percentage of offertory respective of other dioceses in the United States. A lot of other dioceses use 14% of the offertory for their goal. And again, none of it is shared with the parishes. It stays at the Archdiocese. So our appeal is really different in that we do share the appeal funds with parishes.
You mentioned the money goes back, the percentage of the money raised goes back to the parish. And I think that's something, at least in my own experience, that I've found that people are surprised to hear. They hear the Archbishop's annual appeal. They think, oh, this money must go to Archbishop Lurie, and, you know, he chooses how to spend it. That's not really the case. Can you talk a little bit about what happens to the money and maybe expand a little bit on the reality that you know, money given to the appeal actually does support the individual parish?
Sure. After expenses, all appeal funds are really reinvested back into the community. And basically, the appeal is promoting programs of evangelization as well as supporting our outreach partners. So the programs of evangelization are really take place at the parish. The majority of the appeal funds over the past 3 years, which is about 44% of all appeal funds raised, are returned to parishes. From there, many parishes choose to hire a director of religious education with those funds. They use the appeal funds to support capital projects that they want to use at the parish. Some parishes even have parish partnerships. And what that means is more affluent parishes in the Archdiocese take on a partner parish and provide a portion of their parish share rebates and give it back to the needy parish. So it's really, you know, people within the Archdiocese helping other people and to evangelize the mission. I know that many of our Baltimore City parishes are partnered up with larger parishes in the county, and it's critically important that parishes share those funds, without which those parishes would not be able to carry out their mission. So the appeal really helps parishes.
And what about the ministries, the other ministries that benefit from the appeal? Can you talk a little bit about the kinds of ministries that receive money from this collection?
Sure. Right now there are 16 specific ministries at the Archdiocese of Baltimore that are supported from the appeal. One that comes to mind is our Office of Prison Ministry. And as the Catholic Church, of course, it's our job to reach those people in our pews at Mass each week. But we also need to remember those who are incarcerated. And the Office of Prison Ministry has priests, deacons, and lay ministers visit all 30 prisons and detention centers in the state of Maryland. there. They provide the Eucharist, share the sacrament of reconciliation, and pray with those in need. So the appeal really helps the Office of Prison Ministry. Another program that comes to mind is our college campus ministry, where we have on-site chaplains, and they provide spiritual guidance and celebrate the sacraments for both students and faculty at our area secular colleges and universities. Currently, college campus ministry programs are at Frostburg State University, Johns Hopkins University, McDaniel College, Stevenson University, Towson University, and the University of Maryland, Baltimore County campus. Another that comes to mind, the appeal also supports our Office of Hispanic Ministry, and we recently provided them with a partial grant which helped fund a bilingual resource library for pastoral leaders in Spanish-speaking communities throughout the Archdiocese. And I believe there are about 18 of those Spanish-speaking communities within the Archdiocese of Baltimore.
So the appeal really touches a lot of people, and I would imagine that many people are surprised when they understand just how many people are helped by the annual appeal.
Yeah, people are really surprised to learn about the good works the appeal does. It's really not a formless, faceless fund, I think, that some people might view the appeal. But really, thousands of people are helped each year by the annual appeal. And, you know, we're entering our 24th year, and our main goal is really to grow the number of people who support it.
So give us the basics. When's the appeal taking place, and how can people support it?
Okay. Well, the 2015 Archbishop's Annual Appeal has already begun. Most parishioners have already received a letter requesting support from Archbishop Lurie. So far, this is great news, we've received almost $1 million in gifts and pledges. The archdiocesan goal for the 2015 appeal is to raise $7.6 million, and we hope to see about 40,000 people support this year's appeal. Most parishes will also be holding an in-pew portion of the appeal in the coming weeks as pastors share Archbishop Lurie's message about the appeal during weekend masses.
And if people want to find out more information about the Archbishop's appeal, where should they go?
Sure. People can respond to the recent mailing from Archbishop Lurie. You can complete the donation form and drop your card in the mail. Parishioners can also fill out the in-pew donation envelope at weekend masses, which will take place at most parishes on February 7th and 8th and February 14th and 15th. Or you can go make a donation online by visiting www.archbalt.org/appeal and click on the Give button. But really, the easiest way to learn more about the appeal is to visit the 2015 Archbishop's Annual Appeal website. And again, that's www.archbalt.org/appeal. There we have video messages from Archbishop Lurie, more details about our appeal priorities, and you can even see how your parish is performing in the appeal by looking on our news page.
Paula, thank you for being with us today to talk about the Archbishop's Annual Appeal, which is definitely an opportunity for all of us to exercise our call to be missionary disciples. As Paula said, for more information about the Archbishop's Annual Appeal, please visit www.archbalt.org. Thanks, Paula.
Thank you, Sean.
Here's Sarah, a real mom with real reasons for sending her kids to a Catholic school.
I grew up going to public schools, and my husband grew up going to Catholic schools. I think what sets the Catholic schools apart academically are the expectations on the students. Catholic students from our school learn how to study at a young age. They learn how to manage homework and manage their time in order to accomplish the homework they're given. I understand that several of the high school valedictorians in the West Michigan area have actually attended Catholic elementary and grade schools. So I think that just is a great example of how our students fare out there in the world, and whether they continue to a Catholic high school or continue on to a public school. They're very well prepared, no matter their choice.
Contact the Catholic school near you. Take a tour and ask questions. Explore financial aid options that are available. You just might find your own real reasons to choose Catholic education for your child.
To learn more, visit online at archbalt.org/schools. That's archbalt.org/schools.
The season of sacraments is nearly here. First Holy Communion, Confirmation, and Weddings. Visit the Baltimore Basilica, America's first cathedral, and stop by the gift shop for all of your gift needs. From beautiful frames to crucifixes and crosses, statues and one-of-a-kind rosaries, the Basilica gift shop has it all. Friendly, knowledgeable staff members can help you select the perfect gift. Also available, Baltimore's very own Mouth Party Caramels, locally designed hand-painted signs, and jewelry, plus gifts for Easter, as well as an extensive line of St. Patrick's Day items, sure to bring out the Irish in everyone. Visit the Basilica Gift Shop at 409 Cathedral Street in Baltimore, or call 410-727-3565 for hours and directions. Free street parking available directly in front of the Basilica between 9:30 and 4 p.m.
Did Pope Francis really say that? If you get your news only from the mainstream media, some of the things you hear and read about our new Holy Father may seem shocking. Some news outlets cover only the most sensational things the Pope is saying or doing. If you want to read about what Pope Francis is saying in its full context, turn to the Catholic Review newspaper and on the web at catholicreview.org. The Catholic Review is your best source for up-to-date and in-depth news about the Pope, the Vatican, the Archdiocese of Baltimore, and your local parish too. In print, on the web, on your phone or mobile device, the Catholic Review has news, information, and commentary that goes wherever your faith takes you. Visit CatholicReview.org and find out what the Pope really said. CatholicReview.org.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Baltimore. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May God bless us and keep us always in his love.